Hey guys, so I just wanted to give a little backstory before this week's episode of Girl Talk at the Dan Gable Museum. We interviewed Gina Perry, who is Rich Perry's wife, and I don't want to give anything away and spoil the interview, but do me a favor, grab yourself a box of tissues before this gets started. This is truly an inspirational story that is centered around faith, the wrestling community, and family. And I just want to thank Gina Perry for allowing us the opportunity to help share a piece of their story. And thank you guys, and I hope y'all enjoy. Hey guys, we're here with Gina Perry, Rich Perry's wife, and we're gonna ask her a few questions. Okay, Gina, so how did you and Rich meet?
So Rich and I, we go over this all the time because we met through one of my sorority sisters and during the summer session at Bloomsburg. So Bloomsburg now is pretty big compared to when we went there. They actually have restaurants and things like that. Back then they didn't. So first session for summer was literally like 20 people is what it seemed like. And it was probably six of my sorority sisters, myself, and then the other half of the 20 was the wrestling team. So we were kind of like stuck with each other, you know. There was nobody else to hang out with. So my sorority sisters and I were spending like every day with the wrestling team. And we met. Yep.
I love that. So what was your first date like?
So we also, this is the part that we always go over because it's like, what was our first date? You know, we hung out every single day basically in summer session, and we can't really pinpoint a first date because we were always with our friends. Like, it was always the group of us, and so we try to figure out, like, well, he came to visit me at work because I was a server, and we're like, does that count as a date? No, not at all. He made dinner one time, but his roommates were there, so it wasn't, we never really had like an official first date. Yeah, I mean, we could say like meeting each other at the pool, the town pool, probably, but we don't know. It's embarrassing because we're like, what do we tell our kids when they get older? But like, we have no idea.
I love it. That's great. So since you can't remember what your first official date was, what is one of your favorite dates that you guys have had?
So Rich, like in all of our relationship together, Rich for Mother's Day, it was our first Mother's Day together. Well, yeah. And he actually went all out. He wouldn't let me know what we were doing. He didn't let me pick out my outfit. He went and purchased a dress for me and for Maya, our daughter. And he set it out on the bed and he said, okay, wear this. He picked out my shoes, like everything. He was like, just do your hair and makeup. And I was like, where are we going? And he would not give me any hints or any clues. And he put it in the GPS and I had no idea where the address was. We got into the car with Maya and he took me to this restaurant. And it was like the sweetest thing because he literally had everything picked out, from like flowers when we got there. He picked out our meals. Maya was in this beautiful little floral dress. It was really sweet.
What a thoughtful day.
First
goodness. Yeah. That is beautiful.
He set the bar high.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So what was your wrestling background prior to meeting Rich?
So before I met Rich, I knew nothing about wrestling. I had one cousin who wrestled in high school, and I just remember him wearing those sweatsuits, you know, to cut all that water weight, and him running and being stinky. And like that was just my one. So when he said he was a wrestler, I looked at my sorority sisters and I was like, why are we hanging out with wrestlers? Like, this is just, it was not something that we did. And I just had no wrestling knowledge at all. The first few matches that I went to of Rich's, I was so confused. I sat in the stands and I would try to sit by older people who like I could bug, you know, and be like, okay, what's going on now? What's going on now? And I would just go based off their reaction. But most of the time, that first wrestling season that I sat through, I was watching John Stutzman, which was Rich's wrestling coach, because he was the most entertaining to me. Since I had no idea what was going on the mat, his reactions were priceless.
I love that. That is awesome. I love when they have a passionate coach in their corner because it is so fun to watch.
It honestly, it was the best. Like, Rich would win his matches and I'd be excited for him, but watching John just go all out, he was just the best to watch. It was so entertaining.
I love that. Okay, so now on to a little bit heavier stuff.
Yeah.
In August of 2018, Rich was seriously injured at a USA Wrestling training camp. Can you walk me through that day and the following months?
Yeah, I that day sticks through. I mean, that's something that's gonna be like etched in my mind forever, even leading up to that moment. So it was Maya's first day of school, and she had just gotten home from school, and she wanted to FaceTime her daddy, who was in California.
How old was
And
Maya,
we
if you
did.
don't mind me asking?
Oh yeah. So she was in first grade. It was the first day of first grade. And I remember sitting there and we were FaceTiming him, and all of a sudden, like, my phone died. So I went and I plugged it in upstairs, and it was so nice outside. We went swimming. And I just didn't think anything of it, you know, because you just never know what's gonna happen in the hours that follow. And later that night, I got a phone call. Several phone calls, but my phone was still plugged in. I just tucked the kids into bed, did showers. I might get emotional. I'm sorry.
No, you're
Every
fine.
time I talk about it, I just like it's reliving it, you know, and it's just trying to digest it all over again. But
I
I
can
got a phone call.
imagine.
I had, when I finally got to my phone, I had like all of these missed calls from numbers that I didn't recognize. And then I had several missed calls from Coach Slay. And then Lauren Burrows texting me, just telling me I needed to call Jordan, and gave me his number. And I want to say I texted Lauren first because, well, one, like when they're at these camps, you just don't think, you know, once they get there, you think, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, it's the travel to and from that really you get nervous about every now and then. So I text Lauren and I was like, okay, like, is everything okay? She's like, just, you have to call Jordan. Just call Jordan right away. So I called Jordan, and Jordan is, he just keeps his cool. And he just, he told me there was an accident, Rich was injured. And he doesn't have a lot of the details because, you know, it happened and then Rich was airlifted. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, what happened? You know, like what? And he was like, he just got poked in the eye. And, you know, the doctors aren't giving us information because we're not family. And I said, okay. So that he's like, you need to call the hospital and call the doctors. So I was doing that, and that was like a few hours. And at that point, like, Jordan was so calm and so collected that I honestly thought Rich got poked in the eye, and like that was it. Like, I didn't think, you know, his eye was missing or it was something as serious as it was. I was like, okay, they're just like making a big deal because it's he had to go to the hospital. I get it. And hours passed and no doctors returned the calls. They were busy. I was trying to locate him like at the hospital so I could actually find out who his doctor was. And it was just like a game of tag. The guy, the operator for the hospital, was probably like so annoyed with me because I kept getting circulated back to him because they kept switching Rich's floor. So it was just a lot of chaos and a lot of uncertainty and no answers. Like, no one knew what was going on. And I think the guys that were there didn't want to worry me. So they didn't want to, you know, say what happened and the extent of the injury. So finally, I was just like, okay. My mom was like, you have to go. Cause like, what if it's something that's really serious? You need to just go. So I packed my bags for myself and Zeke, who at that time, he's our youngest. He was 5 months. And we went to Baltimore to get on the earliest flight for the following morning. And I finally got a call back. So it was the next morning. I got a call back from the doctor. It was like 2:30 in the morning, and told me that Rich is seriously injured, and I need to get there. And so I was like, okay, I already have my flight booked. I'll be there in the morning. I'm bringing my son. Like, he was nursing and all that. So we arrive in California, you know, the next day, and that entire flight, the flight from Baltimore to California is like 5.5 hours. That flight felt like it was 10 days long. Like, it was the longest flight of my life. And the poor woman sitting next to me, I was holding Zeke on my lap and I was just like a bawling mess the entire time. I was crying so uncontrollably and just praying out loud in my head. Like, this woman probably thought, I don't know, that I was crazy. But I during that flight. And something that's so important, I think, in the whole story was just that I gave God complete control of the situation. I mean, I know he was already in control. I shouldn't say it that way. I should say that I kind of surrendered everything to God at that moment. And I said, God, like, I don't understand everything that happened. And I'm not going to ask why this happened to my husband, but I just want you to know that, like, I trust you and I'm putting this in your hands. And whatever comes next, like, I know you're going to take care of our family because you always have. And I know you always will. And I think, like, after that, it felt like after I said that, the plane landed. And when we got off the plane, we were met by Daryl Miller from USA Wrestling and Cody Bickley. And they were so calm and so collected. And it was reassuring to me that everything was going to be okay. They took me to the hospital, like directly to the hospital, where we were met by Rich's doctor, who basically told me, like, the chance of Rich ever leaving that hospital were so slim. And this was, like, right when I met them, that I just needed to prepare myself for what was to come. And, like, when you hear that, and this was before I saw him, so when you hear that, it was just, like, it stops you in your tracks, and it felt like someone punched me in my stomach. I remember, like, kneeling down and just saying, like, I need to take a moment. Like, it was a lot to digest. And then when I saw him, I walked into the hospital room, like, moments after hearing them tell me this, and it was so surreal. Like, it was almost like I was watching a movie, and you would think seeing your husband like that would make you just burst into tears and start screaming, like from a Tyler Perry movie or something, but it wasn't like that. Like, I walked in and it was like, I couldn't believe, like, that was him, you know, laying there. And I couldn't believe, because I had never seen him in such a vulnerable state ever. And it was just, I almost had to, like, take a moment to tell myself, like, you're not dreaming, like, this is real life, you know, and you have to really, like, just pull yourself together right now and just be strong, because that's what Rich would want. Like, seeing him like that, it was definitely life-changing. Like, it just altered everything, you know. But then I remember just whispering in his ear, telling him, like, you need to fight. You're going to be fine, but you need to fight, and you need to come out of this because our kids need you. The days to follow were intense. It was like a roller coaster. The guys from the camp were still there, so they were in and out visiting, which was reassuring and comforting. But one in particular, Joe Russell, pulled me aside, and he told me he was in a similar incident. You can look it up on YouTube. His story is just another miracle. But hearing him tell me his testimony about his brain injury and how doctors gave him, like, the slim chance, and how God pulled him through. And then he told me what to expect. Like, Rich may not respond to anybody else's voice but one person. Or, you know, Joe recalled remembering hearing his brother speak and knowing that God will get us through it. And just Joe really prepared me in those few moments that he shared his testimony with what was to come in those next following days, and how it is a roller coaster up and down, and to just take each day by day. Hearing those words were super comforting. And so when the doctors did try to meet me with more bad news, I was optimistic. Or I get lost in the story.
No. Keep going, please.
So the guys from USA Wrestling, they would come and visit, and they'd spend time with Rich. And little by little, some days were really good. Some days were really, really hard. Sorry.
Please don't apologize. This is your story, your testimony.
It's so much. Like, it's honestly, day by day, it was so much to digest that now when I go through it again, it's like, I don't want to miss sharing with you the parts that were, I mean, just miracles, you know? But it's just so much. So okay. So little by little, like, day after day, Rich would show breakthroughs. like the first time he squeezed my hand, or the first time he spoke and he said, I love you. And Rich's brother was there from Connecticut, and he was standing behind me, and I was holding Zeke in my arms and I was holding Rich's hand, and I said, I love you. I was getting ready to leave for the night, and I said, I have to go, but I love you. Good night. And he said, I love you. And it was like such a mumbled, I love you, that I didn't know if I was hearing things or not. And Rich's brother, I looked at him with like my eyes super big. And I was like, because at that moment, like Rich was just silent, you know, like not responsive. And he was like, he said it. And I was like, say it again. Like, if you said it, say it again. And he was like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Almost like he was saying it to myself, Zeke, our baby, and then his brother, Robert. And it was the most beautiful thing. And then the following day we went back, and he was like, he was quiet, but like you could just tell that there was life in him, you know, like he was gonna fight. And the nurses and the doctors, they were doing the best they could do, but given like the medical evidence that they had with the imaging and all of that, like they didn't believe that Rich was gonna make it. Like I know they didn't believe Rich was gonna make it based on like the multiple times that they told me, you know, you need to prepare yourself. You need to take a grip of reality and realize like what's coming. Because when Rich said, I love you, I was just given so much hope. And just, I just knew that he was going to be okay. You know, like there wasn't a doubt in my mind. Like if he's in there, you know, despite what anyone else says or sees, like he's in there. And I just knew that from that moment, like God was going to carry us, and I didn't know what recovery was going to look like, but I knew that God was going to get us through it. As the days went on, Rich's health got better, and then it had like a sudden decline again. And then it was better, and then it was a decline. And then once it hit that second decline, it was just kind of like a steady, just him laying in bed, him just, he's not there. He didn't speak anymore. He didn't, acknowledge anybody coming into the room. But when we brought Zeke into the room, Rich pulled all of his cords out, so they had to like tie him to the bed and put these mitts on him, and these mitts, Rich would turn into like puppets for Zeke, our baby.
That is so sweet.
Oh my gosh. But it gave me hope, because it let me know like he's in there, you know, like he was interacting with our son. And maybe he didn't interact with me or interact with the nurses or anybody else that came to visit, but he's in there, like he remembers our baby. And to me, that was so important.
And he was playing with him, like
he was
just
playing with him. Like he couldn't talk, you know, his facial expression stayed the same, but he was moving his hand like a puppet and like pretending
so
to get
beautiful
and tickle him. It was like the sweetest thing. Yeah, so just little things like that Rich would do, or the way he would look if I was talking to him and praying for him, like the way he would just like nod in affirmation, you know, like he would, yep, or confirmation, sorry. So that was California. California was the hardest time of our life, but I think things got a little more real when we got to Philadelphia, just because in California, it was me and Zeke, and I had the most wonderful people out there with me helping with Zeke, the Neal family and the Campos. Like one thing in California that really blew my mind was the fact that when we were there, every decision that had to be made about Rich's health, I was so afraid to make it, because I'm so used to having him to go back and forth with when we try to make a big decision. And it was concerning his health, you know? But every decision, I couldn't. And that was probably the most difficult thing, was like, I hope I'm making the right decision, because this is your life. It's literally his life on the line. But I would pray so hard. And the family I was with, the Neals, they were so amazing. Jody Neal would sit and pray with me, and she would pray with her friends about just God to give us the wisdom to make the decision for us, or make the decision very clear. And every single time we had to make a decision, or I had to make a decision, God made it for us, you know, like he just made a way when it seemed like there was no way. And that's such, I know that's in the song, I know it, but honest to God, like that's what he did. He made a way when there was no way. And there was a time when, you know, a surgeon came in, and or the doctor came in, and he said, we're not going to operate because the risks are too great. So this is your husband. Cause I said, well, what now? And he said, well, this, and he pointed to Rich laying in the hospital bed, unresponsive, eyes closed, just not not rich, you know, that wasn't rich. And I looked at him and I said, we're going to fight. Like, he's not done fighting. You don't know my husband and his strength that he has and the faith we have. Like, we're going to get through this. This is not the end. And that doctor, he just looked at me like I was crazy, but I prayed. We prayed so hard, just for another opinion, another chance, you know, like, God, like, if Rich isn't meant to have this surgery, then okay, if that's your will. But if it's your will for him to have this surgery, please, Lord, make it happen, because only you can at this point. And the next day we spoke with some other doctors and they changed their mind and said, you know, like, we overlooked something, like, he can have this surgery. We'll have this surgery. And thank God we did, because I can't imagine, if, you know, him just being in a hospital bed for the rest of his life and then seeing him now interacting and playing with our kids and they have their dad back, you know. But when I got to Pennsylvania, again, it was like real life. You know, it was like, you have two other kids that you need to get to and from school. You have your husband, who, Philly is an hour and 35 minutes from us, that you have to go visit every day. Like, it was a lot. Yeah. So post-surgery in California, we came to Pennsylvania, and that's where Rich started rehab. But rehab was an amazing, amazing journey. I feel like I skipped a ton of information in California. So sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
But
if you think of something, we can always go back to it and edit it in.
Okay. So. Cause I know I like, I mean, I just, it was a blur.
I can only imagine.
It was a lot.
I can only imagine, but this is beautiful. I mean, your trust in God, like, your faith, like, just incredible.
Absolutely. That's what I want to tell you. Thank you. That's what it was. So, when Rich was laying there in the hospital, and that, like, initial moment when I saw him, and then I told him, like, you need to be strong. You need to fight this, because I knew that he could. Those times in the hospital, I just made sure that everybody who entered that hospital room was so positive and just so happy and believed in Rich's recovery. And even if maybe they didn't believe it deep down, they had to pretend to believe it in front of me, because I thought that that was so important. Rich is one of the most positive people in the world. He'll look at any situation, and rather than, like, go to, you know, what may happen that's negative, he'll always, always go back to the positive. And I knew that at that moment, he couldn't necessarily be the one to steer me into that direction. Cause, you know, as a mom, I think I tend to worry about the bad that may happen. And so Rich is constantly pulling me back to, like, yeah, but the good, this focus on the good, trust God, focus on the good. And I knew that he couldn't, like, verbalize that for me. So I had to do that for him. And so I made sure at the hospital, like, we were always positive. I didn't let the doctors say anything negative in that room while I was there anyway. And anybody else, like, they just had to speak positive and speak that, you know, God has this. He's going to take care of us. He's going to get us through this. And whatever his will is for Rich and for our family, like, we have to accept that. But right now we're praying and believing for a miracle. And a lot of people are like, your faith is so strong, you know, but Rich may not say it as often, but that's totally from what he's taught me being his wife, is just continue to trust and believe in God and continue to count on him for all things. So in that hospital room, like, we were always smiling, we were laughing, we were playing worship music, and we were praying a ton. When we, you know, left the hospital at nighttime, that's when I would cry uncontrollably and just pour out to God, like, all of my worries and my fears. And then in the morning again, I would wake up crying and then put on my shoes and say, okay, let's go do this. And it was almost like every day, just like a battle. It was a battle. It was a mental battle. And then just like a spiritual battle of just, you know, Gina, you're not in control of this. The doctors are not in control. Like, we just really have to give it to God. And I think that was what Rich would have wanted. You know, that's what Rich would have done. And so that's why I was able to be so strong in my faith, because I knew that's how Rich would have been had the circumstances been in reverse, you know. So we got to Philadelphia, And we were able to choose Philadelphia over Lancaster just because Rich's teammates at the PRTC and his coach, that's his family just as much as we are. And so I wanted them to be able to experience with Rich his recovery, because I thought that them being there cheering him on would be the closest thing to him wrestling, you know, being in that wrestling atmosphere. And it was the best decision I think I made, just because Drexel's wrestling team. Yeah, well, the wrestling community was incredible during this whole thing. I mean, they, honest to God, were like, their support and their love, their outpouring, like that kept me going in those nights that I was afraid or was, you know, really just devastated. Like, am I going to lose my husband? Because those moments definitely came. The wrestling community is what kept reminding me. Like, I would receive messages from random people all across the country, even all across, you know, the world. There are people in Europe sending me messages, just like giving me hope, telling me their testimony, sharing their experience with traumatic brain injuries or just God delivering miracles. And that got me through all of those moments of doubt and fear. But when we got to Philadelphia, we were able to experience more of that in person, you know, because Drexel team members, Penn's team members, and then the PRTC, they would actually rotate in. Roger Reyna was phenomenal at organizing Penn's team members coming in and sitting with Rich, so he wasn't alone when I couldn't be there. And that took such a weight off my shoulders because I knew that he was with his family, you know, even if he wasn't with me or the kids.
That's so beautiful.
Oh my goodness. And we are forever grateful because I can't imagine going through this alone and having Penn with us and the PRTC, Brandon Slay, his wife, Tina, Beza and BJ Futrell, Dan and Trish, and then Chase, like they were just so amazing. They had their churches come and pray. Like some of their pastors would come and pray. Some of the parents from Penn and Drexel would come to visit Rich and pray, because Rich is one of those people that, like, if you meet him, he's like forever going to be in your life, you know, like he's not someone that you're going to forget. And I know I'm biased because he's my husband, but like, he's just one of those people with this smile that's contagious, and he just makes you feel so good about himself. And I think that seeing this happen to him shook a lot of people, and they wanted to show up in a way that they knew that Rich would show up for them if it was them. And so, and little by little, Rich met every obstacle head on and he overcame it. And despite, you know, doctors saying he'll never talk again, he'll never walk again, he'll never eat on his own, like all of these different things that the doctors, these limitations that they set for him, he was just not accepting them, and broke through each and every single one of them. And a lot of people want to chalk that up to the fact that he's a wrestler, you know, he's determined. He's a hard worker, his strength, his great health, all of those things. But if you ask Rich, he will tell you that despite having his health and his age and all of that, given the extent of the injuries, none of that matters. You know, this was purely a miracle, and that's all there is to it. So little by little, he got better. He's still getting better. He's still working so hard to get back to where he was. And
that is, there just aren't any words. Thank you for sharing that. That is a beautiful testament to you guys, to your faith, to your relationship, to y'all's relationship within the wrestling community. It's just beautiful and inspiring. And those are not adequate enough words to describe it, but
thank you.
I don't think there are words to describe that.
So
on to something but it still has to do with that.
Yeah.
What was the moment like for you watching Rich walk for the first time?
Okay. So the first few steps that Rich actually took, I wasn't there for. Is that like, but I had no idea that when he entered the rehab facility that they were going to start right away. Chase Pammy was there. And I will never forget being on my phone watching. Chase took a video and sent it to me, and I was screaming because I was just like so happy and just overjoyed. And I was like, Mom, I have to go. I have to be there, you know? So thankfully my parents watch the kids and they're so helpful with them. So I was able to go and I had missed it obviously, but they told me all about it. The therapist did. And we were just overjoyed. He took 4 steps. And I think I posted that video on Facebook. But I was just, it was just one of those things where it was like, we're going to do this, you know, more hope. And the fact that Chase was there to share that moment with him was, I think, so perfectly timed as well, because him and Chase are super close. And it was like his family was there. Just once again, his family was there. Like, he wasn't alone, you know, and he wasn't going to do any of this alone. So
that is just, again, there aren't words, but that is beautiful. I just thank you so much for sharing this with us.
You're so welcome. When I saw him walk in person for the first time, I cried.
I bet.
I was a hot mess. And I think every time after that, anything he did, and I still do, you know, there are still some things he does that he hasn't done since before the injury. And I cry, I get teary eyed, and it's not tears of sad, it's just pure joy. And there's no other way to express that joy and gratitude rather than tears.
I'm sure it's extremely overwhelming joy. Like, I can't even imagine. So how do you handle the stress from the accident, juggling being a mom and supporting Rich?
So two things. Well, I'm sure there's more than two, but two off the top of my head. One, again, I just kind of try to look at it from Rich's perspective, and have his mindset in everything I'm doing right now is a blessing. Like, if I get tired, because I do, I would be lying if I said I didn't get tired of driving all the time. But I instead turn that into praise and gratitude. Like, I might be tired, but the alternative would be like, Rich wouldn't be here right now, or I'd be driving to his hospital rather than driving to his PT appointments, you know, to visit him laying in a hospital bed. And just like little things like that. Or, you know, if the kids are being like our boys, they wrestle nonstop. So if they're being too much and I've already had a long day, I just look at them and I'm like, thank God, like, they're healthy and they're good. I just turn every worry or every like stressor into praise. And that has helped so in so many different aspects of our life, in this past year, that that's kind of been life changing, actually, just being able to look at things, through that lens. And then the second would be my parents. My parents have helped us so much, with the kids, with meals, just in every area of life. So getting through this would have been really difficult if we didn't have them. And then also, again, with the wrestling community, they are just constantly encouraging us and just pouring into us between the FCA, Brandon, and the PRTC members, and then the PRTC wives. Like, they just constantly encourage us to keep going. I can vent to the girls, and like, they're like, okay, we'll pray for you, you know, and you just get that relief. So that's been incredible too.
That is amazing how much the wrestling community and your family and stuff have just kind of come together and been like, hey, you need something, we've got it.
And we've just been covered in all areas. Like, and that was truly God. And there are a million other ways that I, even from the moment the injury happened, like, that God has just completely covered and provided for us, that otherwise we would have, I mean, I don't know what we would have done. Yeah.
It's amazing. The ways that God can let you know and show you that he really is in control and he's got it.
Right. And he's there, you know, like, he's just not this name in a Bible. Like, he is there, and working in all of our lives every moment of every day. Yeah. It's been incredible.
That really is beautiful. So yeah. If you could go back before your relationship with Rich and tell yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
I wish I would have been more like Rich prior to the injury, you know, and not wasted so much time worrying about things that were completely out of our control. So I think that's what I would have told myself, just to have faith, but like, really trust God, because he knows, and I have no idea what tomorrow holds. I have no idea what the next hour holds, right? So why waste so much time and energy worrying about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Rather focus on the now and today and everything that you're blessed with. That's something I've learned being married to Rich, and I wish I would have learned that sooner in life. I really do.
That is some good advice.
Thanks.
Very good advice. Thank you. Thank you. So what is something about Rich that most people don't know?
This was really hard. I actually asked Rich, I was like, what can I tell them about you? Like, I wanted something juicy, you know? And he's like, I don't know. I'm pretty much like an open book, but he's not. There's layers to that man. Something that a lot of people don't know about Rich. I mean, this man is determined, but I feel like most people know that. I think a lot of people, they look at our testimony, and because I was the voice behind it, they think that like I'm the one with this great faith, which I've already shared with you. Like, yes, my relationship with God, I have a great one, and strong faith, but I don't think a lot of people know that Rich, a lot of that stems from him. And I think like his relationship with God, like his personal relationship with God is such like a personal and close one that he doesn't really like share as much as I do, but his faith is just as strong, if not stronger than mine. And I think in the coming days, like people will hear more and more about that. But I think honestly, that's like the one thing that a lot of people don't know. Also, he's this big bad wrestler, right? But he's really a softy. Like he's a sweetheart. I don't know if I should say that. Maybe you should edit that out. he's just sweet. He's a sweet person, and he's very considerate. I mean, obviously with like that Mother's Day date, right? Like that was
so thoughtful.
A guy thinks of those types of things, you know? But
inherently rich, because yeah, that was rich. Beautiful.
Right. And like, who would expect that from him, you know? But he has some surprises up his sleeve, and I don't think we're finished discovering them yet. I was asking him, I said, why do you want to wrestle again? And he was like, I just have more to give. But more importantly, I want to show people that anything is possible with God, like anything. So I think he's more driven to one, prove those doctors wrong, that like you can't set limitations. Even though we love our doctors, it's nothing against them. They were just going based off of the medical evidence. But I think.
But this is faith, not science.
Right, right, exactly. It is. It is faith, not science. And they have to go with what they see, but we get to go with what we know, which is God's got us. So he wants to prove to people that anything is possible with God, to show them and just be a testimony for them, to give them hope.
That is just, he's going to do it too. I have full faith. That is.
Yes. Amen.
Amazing. Ah, this has been amazing, Gina. Like, I can't wait to follow along with y'all's journey. And thank you so much, Gina, for sharing a little bit of y'all's story with us. I think it is going to be incredibly inspiring for others.
Thank you. We're just happy to be able to have this testimony to share. Like, so grateful. But
it
and
is.
Thank you for the opportunity to share it.
Oh, yeah. No, this
we
is.
We appreciate it.
This is, I mean, it's incredible. They're, like I said, there aren't any words to adequately describe it. It's just.
It's just beautiful. God. Like everyone, like we have this conversation with people, and at the end of it, they look at me in awe, and I'm like, I'm still in awe. Like, and I will be every day for the rest of my life, just in awe of God and his goodness and faithfulness and what he's done in our lives. And the only way to sum it up is just God, you know, like that's just what what he does. What's impossible for us and for doctors is so easy for him.
Yeah. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And he always amazes me with how he can show you that he's working in your life or in other people's lives constantly. Like it's not like he leaves you and forgets about you for a little bit. Like he's always there. He's going through it with you. In fact, he knew you were going to go through it before you knew you were going to go through it.
I know, which is like mind blowing, right?